Good to see everyone this evening, especially our visitors. We appreciate you being here and invite you back at every opportunity you have to be in this area. Our next service will be 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, and we'd invite you to be back. We'll be having classes for all ages to study from God's Word. The sick that we have tonight are Mike and Drew Ogles, Matthew Furline. Sister Ethel Crawford's not doing well. And Doris Hughes, who is Ethel Crawford and Betty Hudson's sister, they said is across the hall from Ethel at the nursing home now. So we need to remember her also. Sister Susie Wilbanks and Stephen are not here tonight. Susie had gallbladder surgery Friday, and she's doing well, but she is home recovering from that. There are gospel meeting announcements on the bulletin board in the back, and we'd encourage you to look at those and support the efforts in this area. Our first prayer tonight will be David Steele, and our closing prayer, Andrew Boyd. And we won't announce any of the rest of the service because all the young men, 19 of them, who all showed up tonight, have got the services for us tonight. So we're in for a real treat. And I'm going to encourage each of them. Some of them, it's their first time. You remember, everyone here loves you. So we're here to encourage you. And I hope each of us will let these young men know how much we appreciate their efforts. Life is sometimes unfair because we've got a great, great group of young ladies here. And they don't get the opportunity to get up here and do what the guys do. But they have a great opportunity to serve the Lord in the various capacities that He has chosen for them in the future. And I hope they'll each be very mindful of the special part they will play in a young man's life as he becomes a deacon or an elder or just a member serving the Lord and the things they can do for the Lord's church. And we appreciate them. We have a summer series coming up for our young people and for young people all over. June the 10th and June the 11th, ninth grade through college. We've already got some registrations in. I'm going to encourage everyone who has Facebook to keep that posted over the next few weeks on your Facebook page. You never know when one person that doesn't know some of us might know you and see that and encourage their young person, their child or niece or nephew to come to that series. It's going to be a wonderful series and be very encouraging for them and for the teachers here who will be participating in that. Keep in mind the last night, which is the 11th, at 7:30, there will be a public singing, and that's for everyone. So if you aren't here during the classes, then that Saturday night at 7:30, we encourage you to come and participate in the singing. We'll turn the services over to the young men.
Let's go to God in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing us with this opportunity that we have to come here this evening to study your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we are all getting to come and serve you in our own right, in our own respects, in our capabilities that we have. We ask that you be with all those who are going to be doing the reading, the song leading, and the teaching this evening, that they will be able to do so in a manner that is pleasing to you, and in a way that can teach and edify all of us. And please help us as Christians and as the audience to listen and to learn and be able to apply all these things into our lives. We ask that you be with us through this upcoming week, that we can take what we've learned and apply it to show the world what Christians should be and how we should live, and make them ask us what the reason is for the hope that is within us. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.
I will be reading Matthew chapter 16, verses 14 through 19. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.
The first song will be number 616. 616, into our hands. Swiftly we're turning, life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ the true light. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice our sins are forgiven. Did he not also die for these lost ones? Then let us hold up Christ through heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right.
Good evening to everyone. I want to thank the elders once again for giving us this opportunity for us young people to be able to participate in these services. And I think it's a real encouragement to all of us, and I hope that we can do the same for y'all. In these series of lessons that we'll be speaking on tonight, we were given assigned topics. And mine is titled, We Need to Share the Gospel with Everyone. So that's what I kind of want to speak with y'all. It's going to be a very short lesson tonight. So what we need to know about the gospel is the gospel is good news. It's full of good news. So we as Christians should desire for other people to know it. So what do we need to, why should we share the gospel with other people? If you would go with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, we're going to read verses 15 and 16. We know this is what is called the Great Commission, where Jesus is talking to his disciples. So Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So we have that. That's our commandment, to go preach to every creature. Also, 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Verse 1 says, "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." So once again, there we have Paul telling Timothy, which Paul tells Timothy, Jesus told his disciples, but this applies to us as New Testament Christians as well. We need to be preaching. We need to be active in teaching the word. Now, why do we need to share it? Well, if you would go with me to Romans chapter 3, a very familiar passage. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we know that everyone has sinned. That's what we've been studying in the auditorium class with Brother Jeff, the book of Galatians, and talking about the law. No one is perfect. The only person that's ever been perfect is Jesus Christ. And the only way to be perfect is to fulfill the law in every way. But we know none of us have done that. We can't do that. You have to complete it. And us as human beings, we don't do that. So we know that we have sinned. So that's why we need the gospel. But what does sinning do to us? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Romans 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus our Lord." So once we have sinned, we are dead. All of us have been dead at one point, and there's still many people in this world who are dead. So we know the end of this verse says, the gift of God is eternal life. The only way that we can obtain that gift is through the word. So that's why we need to be preaching as Christians. I know at times it can seem hard for us to preach. Sometimes maybe if we preach to our friends, family, coworkers, sometimes it seems hard because maybe we have a close relationship with them, and maybe we know they don't really care too much about the Word of God. So we think if we teach them, we try to talk to them about God, they may reject us. They may push away from us, and we don't want that. But that shouldn't stop us as Christians from teaching the Word. Same with just looking at the world in general. It's so wicked, we may be discouraged by it because we think no one cares anymore, so why should we preach? Well, as Christians, we shouldn't have this attitude. We need to have the attitude that it's a commandment, it's our duty. We should want people to hear the good news. Let's remember what God told the prophet Ezekiel. If you would go with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to read verses 4 through 7. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you.'" Verse 7. "But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted." So, as Christians, we need to know people may not listen to us. They may not care what we have to say. Once again, we need to be willing to preach because this is what, as Christians, we are commanded to do. Sometimes I think that we may label people, and that's not, we don't need to do that. I thought of several examples. Maybe when Jonah was sent to the Ninevites, of course, we know the whole story. But when Jonah finally preached to the Ninevites, we know what they did. They believed God, they mourned, and they repented. So they were so wicked, that's why God sent Jonah to preach. But they were willing to change. They did change. Same when Ananias was told to go preach to Paul. Ananias would have been like, "Are you crazy? I mean, he's a great persecutor of the church. He's going to kill me." Well, we know that whole story too. Finally, when Ananias did preach to Paul, Paul changed and he was one of the greatest Christians of all time. And Jesus, we know he preached to tax collectors, the publicans, the harlots. He taught to them because he knew they were sick. They needed the gospel. So let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 starts, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard that, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick.'" Jesus, he saw the need to preach to sinners, and we should too. There's a lot of sick people. There's a lot of wicked people out there, but we need to be willing to preach to them. They are lost, and we should be willing to tell them about this good news. So just a verse to finish up with, if you would go with Romans to me, with Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and I want us to kind of think about, if we're not preaching to other people, no one's going to do it. So we have that. It's a commandment. There's a lot of sick people who need to hear it, so we need to be doing it. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. "How then shall they call on him to whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.'" So as Christians, we need to be doing it. So no one can say, "Well, no one ever talked to me about God. I never heard about him." That's why we need to do it. Whether people are willing to listen to us or not, we need to be doing it. So my finishing point is just as for all of us to think about, including myself. I think it's really helped me that, you know, family, friends, coworkers, whoever, we can find time to talk to them, because there's a lot of people who are in need of the gospel, and we know the gospel can bring salvation. So I want to say thank everyone for their time, and I guess we'll have the next song. If the name of the Savior is precious to you, if his care has been constant and tender and true, if the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell of your gladness today? Oh, will you not tell it today? Presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If your faith in the Savior has brought its reward, if the strength you have found in the strength of your Lord, if the hope of a rest in his palace is sweet, oh, will you not, brother, the story repeat? Oh, will you not tell it today? Will you not tell it today? If the light of his presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today? If the souls all around you are living in sin, if the Master has told you to bid him come in, if the sweet invitation they never have heard, oh, will you not tell them the cheering word? Oh.
talent. If the light of His presence has brightened your way, oh, will you not tell it today?
Matthew 9:35-38. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
As Matthew says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need to be willing to answer this call like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." We all need to be willing to say, "Here am I, send me," when there's work to be done in the Lord's kingdom. We also need to see the harvest and recognize the urgency. We need to recognize that the time to harvest is now. John chapter 4. Verses 34 and 35. Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The time to harvest is now." If a farmer who plants crops, if he doesn't harvest those crops in time, they'll go to waste. But he can replant them next year. He has time. But if we do not harvest the spiritual crops, which are the souls, they'll be lost forever. So we need to do it now. We need to use the right tool to harvest. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The tool we need to use for harvesting is the gospel of Christ. We need to have the right attitude when we harvest. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well doing. Let us do good unto all men." "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Anything that we are doing that helps Lord's kingdom, we do not need to become weary doing. Since this harvest is plenteous, but labors are few, we all need to do our part to bring in the harvest. Let's be busy harvesting in the morning, the noon, and the night.
Are you sowing a seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning, bright and fair? Are you sowing a seed of the kingdom, brother, in the need of the noonday's glare? Many really.
As he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately they left their net and followed him.
Number 504. I want to be a worker. 504.
I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to try to write His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. I want to be a worker every day. I want to be sharing in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard. In the vineyard.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And while you were while you're turning there, if you think of someone that, if they were to say, let's go fishing, what would be the first thing to come to your mind? Would it be a rod and reel with bait to catch a fish? Or would it be to take your Bible along and to ask people for Bible studies or to spread the gospel? Well, when we talk about we need to go fishing in this setting, it's about spreading the word to others. Luke chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out from them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, so much that the net was breaking. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, and so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet and saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For when he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought in their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. We see from here in verse 4 that we do not know when the fish will bite. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out your nets to the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And then Simon answers him and says, but we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. But he lets down the nets, and according to Jesus' words, the fish were caught. So when we're spreading the word, we may not always know when the fish will be caught. We also need to know that we do not need to give up. Just as Peter said, we've toiled all night, but at your word, I will let down the net. We may be fishing and spreading the word, and from what we may be able to tell, no response is given. But we do not need to give up. And then we need to realize that it is God and His Word that does the working. Further down the chapter, Jesus tells them to let down the nets. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, so their net was breaking. It's God and His Word that catches the fish. But we also must know when we're fishing that Satan is also doing the same. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. It says, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Just as we are fishing, the devil is fishing for people to get. So we must be fishing. But we also know that we must be using the right tools. Turn back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Just as when you're fishing now, you'd use a rod and a reel and bait to catch a fish. Just so you wouldn't use things like a baseball bat or things like that to catch a fish. So when you're fishing for souls, you must also use the right tools. And God has given us the Bible, the greatest plan to save souls. When we're fishing, we must remember that God gives the increase. We do not know when souls will respond or how they will respond or how much influence we have had on one. So we must never give up. And we must be ready to leave things behind. If you look down in verse 9, it says, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish when they were taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said, do not be afraid, from now on you will catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. The key phrase in this is they forsook all. So someone may say, if I have to forsake all and I might get rejected over and over again, then fishing for souls is not really worth it, is it? Well, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. So now, the leaving behind everything, or having the door slammed in your face, is not so bad after all, is it? We need to be fishing.
Number 520. Seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain astray, come unto me, his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus, souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path through of the good more, going afar upon the to the fold of my Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain. Thus I would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day unto day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way, going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again to the fold of my Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain.
I will be reading John 21:15-17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
Number 394. Angry words, so let them never from the tongue of bridles slip. May our hearts, best impulses ever, check them as they slowly
We'll turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Tonight I want to talk about how we need to feed each other spiritually. And someone in the Bible who definitely fed a lot of people spiritually was Paul. And so reading in verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. So Paul preached to the Corinthians, and he fed them the word, but he could only preach them the most basic part of the gospel, the milk. And we don't need to be like the Corinthians. We need to work to get solid food, to be able to take solid food, because like our physical body grows with food, so does our spiritual body. But we don't have to do this alone. We can work together and feed each other and grow. And the Bible gives some ways we can do this. One way is we can teach each other. An example of that is right here in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul fed them the word. And we should do this same thing. We should teach one another about the word. We should talk to one another every chance we get about the word of God. Because when we look into the word of God and talk about it, we feed each other and we grow. So this raises the question, when we are having conversations with each other, what are we talking about? Are we talking about spiritual things? Or are we talking about worldly things? For example, after worship, are we talking about yesterday's ball game or what we did last week or what we're going to do next week? Or are we talking about spiritual things? And I'm not saying that talking about worldly things is wrong, but our focus should be spiritual things and feeding each other so we can grow. Another way that we can feed each other is by worshiping together. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day coming. So when we come together and we stir up love and good works and exhort one another, we're feeding each other and we can grow like that. So this means that when you miss a service or I miss a service, we miss that opportunity to grow and to feed off each other. And not only that, when I see you not here, you see me not here, it can be discouraging. It can be discouraging to know that you could have been here and you weren't. Another way is that we can sing songs to God. Turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This passage says, Paul says here that when we sing, we teach and admonish one another. And that's true. When we sing about what God has done for us,
and about God. And we do it all together. We grow. We feed each other and we grow. And when we sing songs, we need to think about the words and what they mean. Finally, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, we need to comfort and edify one another. And this means that we build each other up. If someone has lived a life of sin and comes forward, or someone is baptized, we need to build them up, we need to encourage them, we need to feed them so they can grow, so they can get off the milk of the Word and come to solid food. Or if I sin, you can build me up and you can feed me the Word. So in conclusion, we all need to feed each other so we can grow. And we can do this by teaching one another and not forsaking the assembly, singing spiritual songs, and comforting and edifying one another.
Number 230.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
I'll be reading 1 Peter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks
ask you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Number 598.
When in the sacrifice
I'm not afraid.
As we have just read in 1 Peter 3:15, we are always to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. We should be willing to spread this hope with others. We've been told to go into the world and spread God's word. And we should care for the condition of other souls. This is something we've been told to do. And as Christians, we should effectively stand out from the world, and our actions should let others know that we are a Christian. This isn't something that we should have to go out of our way to explain and should catch people by surprise that we're actually a Christian. We shouldn't want to blend in with the world. They should notice the difference, that we are not like them and that we stand out from them. When we talk to others about God's Word, we should tell them, obviously, the steps to become a Christian and what Jesus did to offer us this salvation. We don't want this effect to come across impersonal. We need to tell others the reason we act the way we do and the reason we are Christians. Are we telling others why we are Christians? Some people may not understand why we chose to be a Christian. They may see the life of a Christian as a life of restrictions and lost freedom. They may even persecute us because we are a Christian. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, beginning in verse 12 says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." We should use this persecution to tell others about the gospel. And we should not neglect to tell others the actual reason we became Christians. It's one thing to recite the lessons that we have been taught all our lives, but it's another thing to actually truly examine our faith and to understand why we have this faith and the reason for the hope that is within us. We should tell others about our faith in God's Word and the reason we believe this Word is true and it's a fact. It's not some collection of stories, but a true account of real people. It's an account of God's love for us and how He was willing to forgive us when we failed Him. Some people look at God's Word as just, it's a 2,000-year-old book that seems so distant from them. But we should convey to them what a personal thing it is for us to read this and to know that this is for our salvation. And we believe it, and we believe that it's true, and this is why we are a Christian. We should tell others that it is because of God's mercy that we have this hope in us. And because of this hope, we want to share it with them. We want them to be saved. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says that you are His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. We should be ready to go into the world and to spread His word to all others, and they should know the actual reason why we are Christian. People who are not Christians do not have this hope within them. They don't have the hope of salvation within them. They don't know the peace that comes with God's forgiveness. If you are not a Christian today, you have an amazing opportunity. You have been given another day and another chance to obey God's word, and so that you may know the hope that comes with God's salvation. So if you're not a Christian and you are ready to obey the gospel and be baptized in Christ, come now as we stand and sing.
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Jesus, for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
To partake of it this morning. If you would, please raise your hands this time.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to come to this time to remember your Son's sacrifice and this bread to represent his body. And those who are partaking, let them do it in a well-pleasing manner. God's name we pray. Amen.
Please raise your hands again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful now for this cup that represents your Son's blood that was shed for us. Be with those that partake of this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are also commanded to give as we've been prospered and catch our attention as we pass the aisles. it's truly been a blessing for us to be here today. It's really remarkable that we have, we had 19 to be able to do this today, but we have more than that. You know, there was one that was sick, and others that I guess they weren't at the meeting or something. But I know we would like to do this again if the elders would like us to do that. Is there any other announcements at this time? If not, we'll be led in closing prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before your throne, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Creator and our Father, the giver of all of our blessings. We thank you for this opportunity to worship and to praise your name. We ask tonight that you be with all your children, here and all over the world. Help us as your children with temptation as we go out through this next week. Help us to keep our goal set before us, our goal to be with you in heaven. Keep us strong and like-minded. In your son's name, amen.